Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure having you with us today. Today, we are going to have a very interesting show with a very, very wonderful guest who I've known for a while now, and he is an expert in his field of cancer. So, cancer, that word, you know, we all want to look at and say, I'm going to run in fear of it my whole life. I really don't want to know anything about it. I'm afraid every time I go to the doctor, I might have it. I'm afraid I might die of it. So many people these days are really fearing the word cancer. Today, my guest is Dr. Mark Cercas from Brazil, and he is the expert on helping others find natural allopathic ways to be able to help themselves. And definitely it is a big difference to be able to find ways to treat and to help yourself if you have cancer. So what we are looking for, and we will be talking about, he will be giving us some tips.
Good evening. Here it's good evening.
Good evening. I'm so sorry for the delay and all the confusion, but at any rate, we're here, right?
Here we are.
Here we are. So again today, my guest is Dr. Mark Cercas of Brazil, and he is well known across the globe for his work on speaking out about cancer, what he sees from current traditional treatments, and how his natural allopathic treatment protocols can be used by anyone to give them hope and healing. And I've known Dr. Cercas for a while. I've been following him for a very long time. And, you know, no matter where a patient is on the path of cancer or diagnosis, Dr. Cercas has many books to help a person heal their body, mind, and heart by altering the terrain of the cells of the body. And today he'll be speaking to us about that, because to many people, that is a new concept. They think cancer just showed up. I went to the doctor the other day. Everything was great last month, last year, and why are they now giving me 6 months? So that is definitely a new concept to many, many people. And we will be talking about that today. And he's also available for consultations via Skype. Oh, boy. His Skype works great, so have no fears. It's just this radio, the board today had a little bit of issues. And, you know, you may click on today on our show page for the link. He is very outspoken about the potential dangers to the world from the Fukushima disaster in Japan, and he'll be talking about that also. And he has a vast array of blog posts and a free newsletter. So please do check out his website. The links are all on today's show page. All you need to do is just click right through there, and you'll be linked right up. So Dr. Cercas, welcome to the show. I am so sorry for Skype. It's just, I guess, the nature of the beast today, right?
Yeah. I would like to start out sharing that this is a very special moment, really. I mean, these last few days and the insights and where I've gone to and what I've been writing have been extraordinary. And it amazes me how much we can still learn. And I'm 61, and it just doesn't stop. And I have, on Sunday, I put together a 250-page book. And today is Thursday. It's now 300 pages. And it's called Anti-Inflammatory Oxygen Therapy.
Wow.
And I am bringing to the world, in about 10 days, a new system of oxygen delivery. It's based on a reasonably old system that's been around for about 20, 30 years. Olympic athletes use it, a combination of high altitude training. There's a thing called multi-step oxygen therapy. It was developed in Europe by a student of Wahlberg. And basically, it's a way of you exercise on a bicycle, and you breathe oxygen from an oxygen concentrator while you're doing it. What it does something to the body. Well, let's talk about oxygen. Well, even let's back out. Now that I just opened up my mouth. yesterday, I'm just trying to set the stage. I had a conversation with somebody, and it was, for me at least, it was a historic conversation. And it felt like I was Freud talking to Carl Jung. But we weren't talking about psychology. We were talking about the marriage and union or the brother-sister or sister relationship between oxygen and carbon dioxide. People who know my work know that I work a lot with carbon dioxide medicine and the principles of carbon dioxide. My book, Sodium Bicarbonate, what is that about? It's about sodium bicarbonate. When you eat it, it turns to carbon dioxide in the stomach, and that's why it works. Carbon dioxide and bicarbonate is really, it's two sides of the same thing. One is translating to the other at the speed of light, basically, and that happens in the bloodstream. And I have different therapies like sodium bicarbonate. People, my readers know about this device from Russia called the Pravlov breath device, breathing device. It's called the Breath Slim in the United States. It's a little device, and you breathe through it, and you blow bubbles, and it slows your breathing down. Most people are breathing too fast, and cancer patients are breathing very fast. On the way to death, you breathe faster and faster, and shallow. It's usually very shallow, not abdominal breathing, not yogic breathing. So what happens when you slow your breathing down, or what the problem is with breathing too fast, and I'm talking carbon dioxide medicine here, is mm-hmm. you get rid of too much CO2 when you breathe fast and shallow. And that's bad. Now, if CO2 was a poison that everybody thinks, a metabolic waste product, poison, you got to get rid of it type of thing, it wouldn't really make sense that it's a problem having too little of it around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little like a hole in the side of Western medicine and Western medical thought. Is that and of course, this whole thing about global warming and CO2 gas, CO2 is really healthy thing. It's a food. It's a nutritional item that we need, and we die without it. You can't give pure oxygen without it, without killing the patient. CO2 is a really necessary thing, and of course plants love it, and even greenhouses, they pump it in there, they buy the CO2 just to make the plants happier. Same thing with us. We're happier with lots of CO2, and in my protocol, natural allopathic medicine, we have ways of increasing CO2, which, of course, the best way is exercise, which a lot of sick people don't do.
But Dr. Serkis, so many people do exercise, and it's so sporadic, and it's so it's not effective. So, they're doing these little 15, 20-minute things, and then sometimes that's almost maybe more harmful than not. I guess that's also where a lot of people say that buildup of lactic acid in their bodies and they get these cramps and everything is because they're just not doing this process effectively and on a regular basis.
Right. Well, that's where this...
Is it effective with the extra exercise? Or really, I think learning about your breath might be more effective than saying, hey, you just told me I need oxygen, I'm going to go out to the gym and work myself to death for an hour once a week. That's not really going to do their benefit, correct?
No, correct. The problem, and the principles of this book is that the mistakes we make, the toxicity that we expose ourselves to, whether it be emotional also, or bad breathing, living in cities, breathing poison air, having mercury in our mouth, living across the ocean from Fukushima, eating a lot of sugar. Sugar is one of the big ones that Right. And all these junk food. What that happens is people who have been living that kind of life and end up sick, their cells are starving for oxygen, and so they're not their oxygen capacity is just not doing the job. So the cells are burning glucose and turning to anaerobic metabolism, and it's very dirty. And instead of 32 ATPs, you only get 2. You know, so people, and this becomes chronic, and, you know, the capillaries and the tissues get like, you know, oh, I don't even remember the word in English after 22 years down in Brazil, but they can get stuck up like a toilet. The cells
right.
get dirty.
Right, the glycate. Well, you know, I had spoken to my daughter today. She's an ER doctor, and she said that a patient came in today with a glucose of 23, and he had tremendous problems with his lower legs. And my daughter said, where's his tumor? First word out of his mouth, her mouth, you know, because there's got to be. And, you know, so many doctors don't even look at that. They just say, oh, he has diabetes, he has this, he has that. And with a glucose of 23, it's like, how can you even exist? And when, sure enough, the patient had an entire abdomen full of tumors.
Right. So when we start talking about oxygen,
right.
Now one of my first lines, oxygen is the ultimate chemotherapy. It's the ultimate chemotherapy. Why? Oxygen is invincible. It's invincible. It's invincible in giving life or taking it away. And depending what kind of cell you are, it's either going to give life or take it away. Now, us human cells, the ones that are still working, you know, as human cells, not cancer cells, they, of course, when they're exposed to very high concentrations of oxygen, under conditions that are really not known, you know, breathing oxygen while exercising is much stronger than getting into a hyperbaric chamber. So when you do this, first of all, the healthy cells, they're going to all get up and dance and sing a song. And what they're going to do is the energy is going to, the oxygen itself is first going to go rushing into the capillaries and it will take away the inflammation. The oxygen will rush into the cells, fire up the ATP, which will then put out energy and instantly dump some poisons in a detox reaction, instantly. So the good cells are going to get a little happier and more energetic. The bad cells, whatever they are, let's call them cancer, which means they're living under very low oxygen situation, meaning they don't really like oxygen at all. In fact, they hate it because their metabolism is on glucose and fermentation. And if you want to talk about candida and the fungus infections that are, you know, all mixed up with the cancer tumors and everything else, and so before you even get into something that like that, all of these type of, you know, viruses, bacteria, mold, candida, cancer, they hate oxygen, and because they're killed by it. So if you flood them with oxygen, they are going to die. So now I'm not just making this up. I mean, I'm getting a little emotional about it. I'm going to be putting this out in the context of a whole protocol. I'm going to have a 2,000-page compendium about cancer done in about 3 months. This is this book on anti-inflammatory oxygen. It's just one part of the compendium. It defines cancer, this section, as an inflammation. So if oxygen, which is the ultimate alkalizer. See, now here we go. Here's what conversation I was having yesterday. This is the Carl Jung and Freudian conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This whole industry of everybody trying to get alkaline. Now, of course,
right.
Sodium bicarbonate is a great way to do that. But it's still people are having difficulty with their water ionizers or becoming alkaline when they're under low oxygen conditions. Because what happens when you're under low oxygen, which all the people always are, people live in cities, and people don't breathe right, what happens is your cells are not burning oxygen. They're burning glucose and putting out lactic acid. They're acidic. So no matter what you do, if you don't get enough oxygen, you stay acidic. You can drink all the alkaline water in the world. But if you're still producing energy the wrong way because your cells aren't getting oxygen, then you're in trouble. So this is an incredible answer. And when you know, what makes oxygen therapy very safe is carbon dioxide. So it's a whole new kind of concept. And in my protocol of 17 or 18 levels, magnesium has always been number one, and then sodium bicarbonate, and then iodine, selenium, and on and on. I am putting this oxygen system in the number two slot, and for me, it's like a tiger tank. It's going to, by itself, put my whole protocol on steroids, and I will declare right here on this radio, like last night, the way I experienced coming to all the final conclusions is I felt like I was standing on Mount Everest, and with a, like a sword in my hand on top, and this bright light, and I felt that this is like the high point in medicine, because there's nothing lower to the ground, there's nothing more basic than oxygen and life, so it's the prime, and no one really. You know, I know some doctors and some geniuses from the last century who created what I'm saying, who laid out in some very difficult books and, you know, languaging and things like that. Mm-hmm. But this is real medicine, and we can be secure with it because it's oxygen. It's the most basic nutrition, and it divides the good from the bad. In a certain sense, on a cellular level.
Well, you know, I have had the Breath Slim for about a year now.
Oh, great.
And I have been using it. And I can tell you, in the beginning I said, oh, I remember a device very similar to this after I was in the hospital, you know, and you have C-sections and stuff, and they say, well, you haven't been up moving around enough. You need to do the breathing machine. And you would blow in and out as long and hard as you could and to keep the marble risen up in the, you know, into the machine. And you would do that maybe four or five times a day, and that was it. And you only did it for 1 or 2 days until they felt like they didn't want to bother you with you anymore or not. But that is the only time in my entire life, and I'm almost 60, that I can ever remember having any reference to any type of breathing at all in medicine. And I've been in healthcare, you know, since the early 70s myself also, and no doctors or physicians or specialists that I've ever been with or around have even bothered to address that. You know, I would have heart surgeons that would say, well, we're going to go out and we're going to jog on our lunchtime and we're going to make sure we can eat and drink all the green we can. But they really didn't. And you would ask them, why are you not suggesting things to your patients? Why are you not helping them through this? And they would say, they came to me to fix, I fixed them, and then they're out. So really the responsibility is on the patient to be able to start saying what's going on with my health. And I think your medicine and your information is something for everyone because they can start to learn to be able to take care of themselves. Believe me, because all of the traditional therapies and treatments out there right now are end care, you know. When you have a tumor big enough, let's cut it out. When you have something that isn't working, you know, take the drugs. But there's nothing at all to work on the terrain like all of your protocols do or be able to say, let's start doing something now. I mean, granted, we could sit down and eat the greens and stuff them down, but where is that getting us? And, you know, and a lot of people are even taking the greens that have pesticides in them. So where are they going? So something so simple as your protocol with the magnesium and the breathing, that's a huge start for almost everyone, correct?
Yeah, well, from people coming from the mainstream paradigm of medicine, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
It's like going to Mars.
Yes, and that's very difficult for a lot of people to believe that concept.
Well, see, now that's what I'm going to change that now. With what I have in my hands, and with this multi-step oxygen therapy, you know, there's nothing better. You can anybody can set it up in their whole system in their own home, learn about it easily, practice, and be able to practice on themselves a better medicine than just about any doctor down the block. You know, this is, and in terms of treating cancer, you know, it's like, well, at this point, this protocol, you know, is effective, appropriate for palliative care, emergency rooms, intensive care wards. You know, if I have to humiliate them all, it will be insane for them to reject just a better way of administering oxygen to their patients. You know,
right.
It's just so basic. Now, in the United States, well, people are just, you know, famous for ignoring just about everything they want, and that is the nature of doctors. You know, here in Brazil, it's the same thing. I was in a doctor's office yesterday. He says, oh, you can't take sodium bicarbonate orally. Us doctors don't do that, he said. Yeah, yes, he,
really?
He admitted it's used in the emergency room in the intensive care ward, but, you know, of course, we might as well sue the FDA because it is approved for, you know, and sold in the supermarket as a food. You know, so doctors can be really crazy. You know that.
and their choices, I mean, I think so many of them are running scared right now. I mean, I think they try to put on that big front that everything is good, everything is fine. But I do believe that there are a few starting to see that tower crumble. And that is very scary when you don't really know where you're going to land.
Yeah, I can have compassion for a lot of people attached to a system and a civilization that is basically crumbling at its roots. Like medicine is, it's not, you know, across the board, the institutions are just at their, you know, limit of total credibility. Just medicine,
it's not the best.
It's not the best.
Can you, Dr. Sirkis, can you talk to us about magnesium a little bit? Because I know you are the expert on that, and it is so simple. I mean, I'm sitting here waiting for my bottle of magnesium to come and it's absolutely incredible. I've always ordered it online before from the company that you have on your website, and I had no problem. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm out of it. I'll just go locally and get it. I live in New Orleans, you know. No problem. Mm-hmm. I can go to the store and get it. And do you know I went to every store in this city? And there's none. There are no ancient minerals, magnesium. And it's incredible to think that in this day and age that product is not in the store. And, you know, so I'm still waiting for it to come on my shipment. But it's so incredible that we ask people to say magnesium. It's everywhere. You can get it. You can take it. And it's not.
Well, magnesium, you know, and this is also a good moment because I did put the oxygen number 2. I did, even though it's a more powerful therapy on a day, you know, one day to the next, you know, if you give 15 minutes of oxygen, it's, you know, it's going to be like getting into the ring with a heavyweight fighter in turn, but, you know, who's on your side? Magnesium, though, I'm leaving as number 1.
Yeah.
Why? Magnesium, I mean, for many reasons. One, because I'm the magnesium man, I'm famous for it. Two, I've had more magnesium massages, which I consider a treatment appropriate for Cleopatra, you know, mixing massage and covering your body with magnesium oil, just so delicious. And magnesium is just involved with so much physiology that I call it the oil of the body. It oils physiology. But when we look at life, what magnesium is in life, I have a chapter many years ago called The Lamp of Life. And magnesium is between carbon dioxide and oxygen. Just imagine carbon dioxide is coming down into a plant cell. And it's some bicarbonate there. It's changing back and forth between bicarbonate and carbon dioxide. And it hits the chlorophyll. In the middle, sitting in the driver's seat, the chlorophyll is an atom of magnesium. And it's only because the magnesium is there that that cell, that chlorophyll, is able to take light and the carbon dioxide and turn it into glucose, into food.
Mm-hmm.
And at the opposite, right, you know, it's like you're at a mirror. So it's CO2 coming in, and it turns to oxygen. So right at that chlorophyll is a transference between CO2 and oxygen. That's in plant cells. In us, it's different. The magnesium, and I could talk all night about magnesium, but just specifically in this theme about oxygen, if you have low magnesium in your blood, which is very hard to do because it'll steal from the bones and everything else to maintain exactly the right amount. But if you have any kind of dip, then the red blood cells, they don't keep their shape correctly. You need magnesium. They need, because what those red blood cells are is really that chlorophyll with the magnesium taken out and an iron atom put in. That's hemoglobin, as opposed to chlorophyll. So this whole thing with magnesium, carbon dioxide, and oxygen, it's a dance of life in the basement. We're at the magnesium oils the process and makes things work better. But still, and I have the Breath Slim. I use it every day, and I need it. I have an inflammation in my esophagus, so I need to increase my oxygen. How do I do it? I slow my breathing down with this little machine. And it's very hard to slow me down. I'm racing at warp 8, you know, like a crazy man.
Mm-hmm.
But it slows me down, slows my breathing, and my oxygen level goes up because my CO2 is going up. CO2 dilates the vessels, so more blood gets delivered. That's how the body is designed. It's a necessary thing. So part of, you know, what I'm trying to do to talk about tonight is actually firepower. Now, I had a protocol until a month ago that I thought was one of the most strongest protocols. Certainly, it's one of the most available to the public that can be easily learned and practiced, and, you know, just read a book and start, you know, you don't need a college, you know, a PhD to take sodium bicarbonate and water, or get into a bath, or get a massage, or take drops of selenium. It's not that difficult. You know, it's like learning how to ride a bicycle, my protocol. But it's, you know, once you do each thing, it's a lot of work. But the oxygen is going through the front door. This new thing I'm adding, it's like a tiger tank, or a panzer division, or an army of panzer divisions that you can smash against the cancer in every day. So it's like my protocol was a naval battle group, you know, getting ready to sail into the world. You know, it's just being finalized. And all of a sudden, the aircraft carrier Enterprise just joined up with the group, fully loaded with everything, you know, ready to do battle. And that's what this oxygen system is. It's something that it's just too powerful, and there is nothing more basic. Nobody can say there's something more basic to life than oxygen. Even CO2 is a little behind that. Not far.
Well, Dr. Serkis, if we also should believe that almost everybody's got cancer or precancerous cells in their body, I think sometimes some people should believe that, because if you don't and you keep riding that bus that, you know, my doctor's taking care of me, I go there all the time and I'm good to go, and you just ramble on in your days and your life, your health is pretty much at risk. So can you say that your therapies and your protocols is something everyone should be starting to do, and if I have a disease like diabetes, or if I have cancer, or if I have something else going on in my body, can I also use those therapies?
Well, these therapies and this oxygen equipment and this type of oxygen training, this is good for the, you know, Green Berets, for Olympic stars. You know, they have been using these type of therapies, like high altitude training. What is that? That's training with low oxygen and high CO2 conditions. It's very nice, very healthy up there. Got lots of CO2. And then they come down and they do their thing, but because their oxygen capacity is greater. Now you can do that in your home. You don't have to go up to 14,000 feet. But in my system, once they you train at high altitude at 14,000 feet, and then you hit them with this oxygen, then you even you go from five times a hyperbaric chamber to like 10 times. So it's just marvelous in its strength to bring goodness to the cells. And to comment on what you said, this is very interesting. A new way of looking at what you said, meaning everybody has cancer or cancer cells. I'll translate that to you, and I'll use Warburg as justification for my translation, because he defined cancer as low oxygen condition. Mm-hmm. Everybody, except if you know, if you're in perfect health, okay, perfect health. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, so even them, you, from perfect health, competing with other perfect health people, and you want to win an, you know, Olympic, you know, gold medal, you're still going to look for the edge. People who are anti-aging would want to use this because a 70-year-old can still have the breathing and the oxygen levels of a 30-year-old if you do this particular therapy. But now let's talk about cancer. And in really, let's open our minds and let's look at it in not just with chains on us, but just look at it in a new way. If and it is true, and many people back Warburg, he won the Nobel Prize for this, so this is not, you know, this is not more or less science. This is really as good as it gets. Everybody who is having low oxygen, so let's just say all the people who eat sugar and junk food, they're all going to have low oxygen. People who live in cities are going to have lower oxygen. So what does this mean? That, forget about the word cancer, many of the cells in the body are having this tendency to go into low oxygen, low CO2, meaning because the body is acidic, pH is now into acid, things don't work right at acid pH. Why is this happening? Because it's low oxygen and the cells are not creating all the energy they need from oxygen. So they start slowly getting into glucose metabolism. And that creates more acid. So already, we could use the cancer word and say these cells are, let's quote, precancerous.
Right.
So a diabetic will already have, and that's why, of course, cancer comes much quicker to a diabetic than a very healthy person. Because it's all one continuum, and the principle that holds us all together is inflammation. Inflammation is a low oxygen condition. So it's really at the root, you know, what I'm trying to get people to understand, it, when you deal with oxygen, we're dealing at the root of life or death, cancer is death, and we're trying to reverse it. And oxygen, I have discovered, not CO2, but oxygen is the path of the vision. It's where you want to strike, when you need to strike hard. Now, emergency rooms need to really strike hard. If you're going to save a person's life and they're just about checking out, you want to give them the best oxygen therapy you can possibly give them. And that's what I'm going to give the world. So it'll have its application from, you know, the Navy SEALs, Olympic stars, to the guy or the lady who's on, you know, the last, you know, breaths. Because that's what emergency doctors do. They work on people who are dying.
Well, you know, if we look at the continuum also, and you say about some healthy people, you know, with healthy other people, I really don't think the word healthy really has a place in our more modern life now, because healthy is just, you're basing healthy upon the medical test that the traditional physicians believe in their mind at this point is health. I mean, you know, health a long time ago used to be cholesterol of 200, less than 200 or whatever, you know, and now they're saying, like, the lower you can go, the better. I actually had someone come to me with a cholesterol of 80. That is unhealthy. That is not healthy. So you really have to think, what is the definition of health? But then you also look at the paradigm that you spoke about, the continuum. If low oxygen is the issue, pretty much a lot of people are having irritations and inflammation in early life and in their 20s and their 30s, and then you look at it, then they turn around, they have diabetes, or they have back pain, or they have muscle problems, and then later on they have, oh, I can't exercise as well, you know, I get out of breath, and then later on they start having numbness in their feet and their toes, and then later on it's like we've got brain cancer and lung cancer. Well, really, you know, you just didn't come from that healthy person that you stated you were 2 years ago, and all of a sudden now you're dying from stage 4 cancer. That just is not really true. It is the continuum. It's just where we are defining it at that time for whoever the doctor is picking it up, or the symptoms are raising their head, or whatever that might be, because really inflammation and cancer is a continuum. And it's just, it's always, you know, where is it collecting and where is the area of least resistance in your body? And it just tends to center there, right?
Right. And one of the places it starts is in the mouth, in the gums. When you have gingivitis, which many people do, you have inflammation there. It's just a mirror of the whole systemic inflammation. I have inflammation in my esophagus or my upper stomach. But it's, you know, I also have a little bit in my feet. So it comes on through many years. For me, you know, it's like 61 years of ignoring eating too much sugar.
Right. You know, and I've been a dental hygienist.
I'm a bad patient, really.
Well, we all learn from ourselves, you know. And I also tell all of my patients, they're like, well, my doctor is bad. And I'm like, your doctor's not bad, but also doctors die of cancer. Everybody is doing the best they can do right now with what they know. And the point is that patients should still continue to look out and seek things and try things and see how your body feels, because we're all individuals. I mean, if there was a drug out there right now that would heal everybody in the world, do you think that anybody would be talking about health anymore? They would just be doing it, right? So, everybody is an individual.
You're not talking about human beings, because it doesn't sound like that's what they would do. This world is full of people doing the wrong thing.
Right. And it is kind of difficult for them to understand and know, because, you know, that paradigm and that high ledge that we put physicians on to believe that they know best. So really, I think now the time is turning where people are saying, well, hey, you didn't fix it the first time. Maybe you didn't fix it the second time, or I need to just find something else out. So people are learning, you know, I need to eat better. It's a very hard thing to make a change, I think, in this world in these days, you know, to be able to learn that you're responsible for yourself. And, you know, who can we blame that on but history? Well, Dr. Circus, you know, I would love to, we have about 20 minutes left or so. I would love for you to talk to us about Japan and Fukushima. And I do know that you have written multitudes of things, and iodine is on your protocol.
Yes, sure. Iodine is a necessity for every American, everybody in the Northern Hemisphere. Dr. David Brownstein, who's in Detroit, near Detroit, he tested 5,000 of his patients, and 94.7% were iodine deficient. What does this have to do with Fukushima? Fukushima, you know, in the early days, put out a lot of radioactive iodine, both of the short-lived type. It only has a half-life of 8 days, and the one that has a half-life of about a million years or so. So it's going to be around a long time. If you're deficient in iodine, then you're a sponge. It's like a spider's web, just begging to pick up any radioactive particle of radioactive iodine that exists in the environment. So kids or adults, anybody who drinks milk or and get any iodine and anything from anything grown on the ground. Fukushima is a really big problem, and it points at many other huge big problems, like every other nuclear plant in the world. Every nuclear plant in the world is a time bomb. Even in the best sense, in the most optimistic sense, it's going to, in the shelf life of a nuclear plant is limited, like 80 years, 100 years, and then forever, the area around the nuclear plant is contaminated forever. Forever. Never be reclaimed again. It's just dead forever. Could you imagine a nuclear plant closed down and having to be taken care of for the next 10,000 years, 20,000 years from now? What do these guys do to us? I mean, here we are still having to live with this thing. You know, we have deformed kids. Now we have an example of a place where they built 6 nuclear reactors right next to each other and put the nuclear spent fuel pool rods up on top of the buildings, had 3 meltdowns, and it was a totally uncontrollable situation taken care of by a company, a corporation, where the whole world should be helping, because this is a dagger at all our children, future generations. You know, it's, you know, you don't have to go screaming down the street. If you live in the West Coast, it's going to be, well, Japan and the West Coast are the worst 2 places to be in terms of Fukushima. You know, being across the ocean is like being across the bay when it comes to radiation. When it comes to a particle of plutonium, you know, you think the Pacific Ocean, that your particles up there in the stratosphere. So we're in big trouble. It does, you know, I think we're only talking right now because there must be, I believe in angels. There must be a lot of them holding everything together, because I think it's only a string of miracles that's between us and something we dare not imagine.
You know, I've had some reports where some people have called me and said that they have traveled to Japan for some conferences in the past year to 2 years, and just rather, you know, go there, visit, do your conference, leave kind of idea, which we, you know, you and I have done the millions of those. And the person now said last week they got diagnosed with cancer and of the bone marrow, and they're like, well, that can't be related. That has nothing to do with it. It just happened. And it's like, wow, what do you even say? What do you say?
I don't understand. What do you say to what?
What do you say to the patient if you're the doctor? I mean, you can't say, I guess the doctors are not really, they don't want to say that it is related, I guess, because it really doesn't matter. You just kind of have to take care of the patient anyway, right?
Well, according to the United States government, which means according to the CDC and the FDA and the AMA and all the institutions that doctors belong to and have to, you know, believe in like a religion, everything is safe. Everything is safe. Radiation is safe. The big chemical spill in Virginia, okay, start drinking the water, start using it, it's safe. The mercury that dentists put in people's mouth, it's safe. The mercury they inject in kids and adults and the vaccines, it's safe. Everything is safe.
Right.
Unfortunately, science, the National Academy of Science, says there is no such thing as safe radiation. But don't worry, it's safe. The Pacific Ocean is being polluted with radiation, safe radiation. Nuclear plants are safe. Going and having yourself radiated with x-rays and CAT scans, it's safe. It's all safe. Now, how do you deal with that? Now, most people don't, meaning they don't deal with anything. They don't do anything because they're hypnotized that everything is safe when we know it's not.
Okay.
So we have some really big problems, and most people are running around blind because they're purposely being blinded by lies. By lies. Fukushima is a real thing, and it could so easily get worse. And even if it doesn't get worse, thank you very much. But life on this planet is just going to get harder and harder because the radiation is going to keep going up and up, year by year, decade by decade. And, you know, that's what we did to ourselves. We let it happen.
And I think so many people, too, are just so blinded that they just, I don't know. Either they just, and this is probably not a good choice of words, but they just don't have the wherewithal to be able to figure something out like this. They just deny it. They just aren't interested. It's just not on their radar or something. I mean, I live here in New Orleans area. Last night on the news they said that, oh, a few people in this one city about, I guess, maybe 10, 20 miles from here, there is a new company that wants to come in, and they are going to start pumping what they call old oil or whatever. And they said that this is the old oil, and it's no big deal, and it's not a problem to the people. However, some people are starting to pick up and say that old oil is coming from fracking, and it has all this radioactive stuff in it. And the company says, oh, no, that's not a problem. But they're going to put a pipe down in the ground, and they're just going to start pumping it underneath the ground. Well, Louisiana is a marsh, so you go down 100 feet, you're already into the water of the Gulf of Mexico. So here, everything, the bottom of the United States is just going to have radioactive oil because that's what they want to do with it. And the people just don't understand that that might be a potential problem, but they're like, I don't care. It's not bothering me. You know, it doesn't affect me, until you wonder why almost everybody you talk to when you go to the grocery store and one lady says, oh, hi, how are you doing? And the other lady says, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a port for my therapy. And the lady says, oh, yeah, I just had mine taken out last week. And it's like, really? Is that the world we're coming to? Where people are going to be walking around with ports for their cancer treatments, and they're not going to think twice about what's in their neighborhood, you know? And I think you and I are two people that are probably just raising that flag saying, you know, you got to pay attention, you got to pay attention, you know? And it is a tough haul, I think, for people to change their paradigm in which what they believe.
Well, the paradigm I'm going to change is very simple. You know, oncology now basically uses, forget about surgery for a minute, they use chemotherapy and radiation. They use toxic chemotherapy, toxic chemicals, poisonous chemicals, and they use a radiation of a very dangerous killing type. And what I'm saying is that they made the wrong choices of the using poisonous chemicals and the wrong type of radiation. Instead of using poisonous radiation, radiation that kills, there happens to be healthy radiation, far infrared, near infrared. You can treat yourself with these lights, this radiation, and that it can be used to treat cancer, and it helps increase the immune system, and I can talk to you for 10 minutes about that. Chemicals, instead of using stuff from, you know, from the Nazi era, you know, this mustard gas and these incredibly toxic poisons, well, we use, you know, we still want to do chemotherapy, but what do we want to use? We want to use oxygen. We want to use carbon dioxide, magnesium, selenium. We want to use medical marijuana. We want to use cannabinoids. And it's now legal in every state in the union because you can get CBD, which is medical marijuana, without the illegal THC in some states.
Yes.
So this is, you know, science tells it. That's the best. If you forget about the oxygen, which is, you know, I've been trying to say is so incredibly powerful, medical marijuana as a chemo, natural chemo, you know, all the science is there to show that, well, if you're going to bet your life on one thing, like they do with chemo, you take medical marijuana in high quantities. And, you know, but then if you mix it with a whole protocol, like breathing right, the oxygen, the magnesium, the selenium, and on, then you just increase your chances. Whatever your chances are, you cross more T's and dot more I's in your protocol. And if God still wants you on the planet, because, you know, we don't have all the power over everything, I think
right.
The person will stay.
I know that a lot of parts of your protocol are online, and your book is online. And people would be able to download it. It's not an e-book. It is an EPUB book. So it is a book that you can print and be able to use, correct? Because I have one of myself, yes.
Yeah, correct.
And the link to that, to Dr. Circus's book is on today's show page, and you'll be able to click directly to that to be able to find a reference on how to purchase it and more information about it. And, yes, your protocol is something that everybody is able to get in the U.S. A lot of people think, do I have to get stuff shipped from China and Japan or overseas or Russia or whatever? And it's not. It's everything that you are able to get in the U.S., right?
And it's all legal. Everything
yes.
is legal. There's not one item on my protocol that you need a doctor's prescription for.
Right.
And also, the things are so basic that they could never, they're going to, you know, make oxygen illegal. You need a prescription
right.
to breathe. I mean, there's limits. And I think the whole old paradigm has reached its limit and is now in the middle of collapsing.
You know, here in Louisiana, they're talking about medical marijuana being a potential, as it is in Arizona. As you know, I'm a naturopathic physician licensed in Arizona, and we are able to recommend which patient may be able to benefit from that medical marijuana paradigm. And some other states are looking at that also, and they're keeping it under lock and key, like it is this golden thing that you know, they're going to have crazy people run down the street on it. Well, they've already got crazy people running down the street. They don't need to be worrying about the ones that are sick because they can't run down the street, you know? And I think that some people's heads, they're just not, you know, A plus B does not equal C, you know? And so many people can benefit from the medical marijuana, and it is so important to check out the company that you have listed on your website. And it is a fabulous company, and it is safe, and I have used the products before, and they are not something that's going to have you crazy. You do not have the benefit of, you know, the euphoric kind of things that you would have just by smoking what we would say was smoking weed, okay? And these are drops, and they are salves, and they are safe for the body, and they are not at all have that part of it. So it's safe for everybody in every realm of healthcare that you might try to be able to use those, right?
Right. I love the balm. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
My wife brought my daughter to me yesterday, and she all of a sudden had a little cyst on her eyelid.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's called. And I just put this balm on it, and an hour later, it was just gone. Just gone. Amazing.
And they are safe, and everything is safe. And it, you know, that company that you could talk about is in the United States. So it's also again not out of, you know, in Timbuktu where we don't know what we're getting again.
No, sure.
Every company you've listed has things in the U.S. and they are all safe and they are all able to get on the internet. Yes, yeah, sorry, that's just, you know, not everybody has them in their backyard or the store. But all of these parts of this protocol are available. So it is definitely easy to be able to follow your protocol, and you just read the book and pay attention. And you are available for consultations via Skype
mm-hmm.
and, correct?
Yes, I do consultations, and then we also have an online clinic type situation where people contract me, and then I monitor them for months at a time. And guide them through, you know, because basically what, you know, for cancer patients or anybody who's seriously ill, you know, you can go to a clinic and have some people take care of you, and it's very expensive, of course,
mm-hmm.
or you can, you know, take responsibility, or the family can take responsibility, and you do it at home. So it's like setting up a field hospital. And my books is what I try to teach people what to do. And sometimes you just, you know, some people, they need to be held, you know, their hands held. There are mm-hmm. deeper aspects to be dealt with. I'm opening up my sanctuary this year in the center of Brazil. I live on the coast, but been building for 9 years. And there, the reason to come to see me is not to do my protocol in terms of all these different things I've been talking about, but do, like, some of the protocol items. For instance, I'm the only doctor in the world who lists the tears of the melting heart as a medicinal,
yeah.
as part of the protocol. So dealing down in Brazil, we have this stuff called ayahuasca, which is like psilocybin, a little bit, you know, these type of transformative type things. And my passion in terms of face-to-face is not being a nurse and doing protocol for people, but helping them look at themselves. Because sometimes, no matter what you do with the body, if your heart and soul are sick or not lined up with your life purpose or whatever, then it's really hard to recover. You know, without, you know, I lived, you know, as a health nut, I've never been. I'm too much like a regular doctor in the personal sense, meaning I've been able to eat anything I wanted in my life until about a year ago that was. And I'm not sure what I'm trying to say.
But also they can follow your journey on your blog, because you have written and posted about your journey in which you've had some stumbling. And I think that that's important too, don't you think?
Oh, I've learned so much from the mistakes I myself am making.
Yes.
You know, it's so much. When I got knocked down 14 months ago with GERD, at least I started writing about nutrition and diet.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my protocol is actually concentrated nutrition. But in terms of eating, it's never been my strong point. But I started writing about it. Now, 14 months later, I'm starting to live it. It took me a while.
Well, it takes, I think, everybody a while, because they have to adjust to themselves, too. You know, just like we have said, if we could bring this full circle into the beginning, everybody is an individual. You know, parts of your protocol may work for 100% of the people, but you may be that 0.1 that maybe something doesn't, or maybe something you need to change, or maybe you do great on 1, 2, 3, and 4 of it, but you don't like 5 so much, but you also like 6, 7, and 8. So, you know, there are those people, and that's what I think you have found by having your own issues, you know.
Yes.
Certain amount that you had said great, and then you said, ooh, it wasn't good for me. But you know to say to the people, try it here and let me know what you experience. So by having your online clinics and stuff, that is what the patients can say. I'm feeling this and I'm having that. And you could say, ooh, I had that too. Let me tell you about mine and let's see how we can go further. So while it might be hand-holding, it is also assisting in that path and saying what resonates and what doesn't, so we can catch you before you fall off of that.
The one thing I'd like to say is that every patient
mm-hmm.
has to take care of themselves every day.
Yes.
The doctor's not there every day. So before
right.
you go to a doctor or before you get treatment, you have to be, you know, say you get diagnosed with cancer. And that the next day and the day after that, you're not going to get thrown into chemotherapy in 48 hours. People have to take care of themselves. And then what after your treatment, then you still have to take, you have to learn how to take care of yourself. Magnesium is a very good example. We know, doctors don't know this, but we know, the scientists know, that surgery that has administered magnesium before, during, and after makes surgery safer. You have a lot of accidents and deaths when you administer magnesium. Do doctors do that? Of course not. But it's a fact. So you learn to take care of yourself, even if you're in regular patients. You know, you looking at these type of things, you want, even if you do still believe in doctors and you're going to get treatments from them, you still have to take care of yourself, because they don't teach you how to do that. They don't.
Yeah. And I think that they also themselves have, sometimes most doctors are just running their life on their own path too, you know. How many doctors will always say to you, I'm running here, I'm running there, I don't have time. So believe me, a lot of them are going to run into their own walls sooner or later. So Dr. Sirkis, we've come to the end of the show, and that was a really great hour. I was wondering if you could tell us when your new book will be out. That would be great.
This book, with my staff, I should be finished with it in about 2 weeks, let's say, and then my staff and everything another 2 weeks after that. My sodium bicarbonate book is going to be coming out in a month or two from New York. It's a New York publisher. It's about to publish it. And let me just find if anybody who's listening to the show is interested in what I was talking about with the oxygen, I have, because my book isn't published yet, and I haven't even put an essay up yet about this.
I think they can go to where the protocols are, and then when you go down to the oxygen or find the word BreathSlim in there, you could find the link, and you click the word BreathSlim, and it takes it right to their website, because that's how I ordered it, yeah.
No, that's for the BreathSlim, but for
right.
the I had it here, the link. I don't see it. Hold on one second. We have another 1 minute. Can you say something?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And also, I will put that link on the bottom of today's show page. If anyone is listening to this show on archives, they will be able to have that link also. And do check out drcircus.com because you will find a lot of information there. And please do sign up for his newsletter. It is free. He sends it out. Sometimes every day, it seems, sometimes every few days. So there is a lot of information, and also do connect with him on Facebook and on Twitter. Dr. Mark Circus, if you are scanning or if you are Googling or looking on Facebook or looking on Twitter, he is on all sources of social media.
Okay, the link is on the protocol page, which you can see from the menu link, Natural Allopath Protocol. The link
yes.
is on the selenium, number 5. Liquid selenium will bring you to the site that this liquid selenium I use, which is fantastic. It's 1 milligram a drop,
yes.
selenium. But you'll see the link to this called Live Oxygen.
Okay.
It's like in this testing phase. So it's a good time to buy because we haven't even put up the real prices yet. So if somebody got a full system right now, this is like an inside tip from Wall Street type thing. If they bought a system that right now is listed for $1,425, when we officially launch or release this, it's going to be $1,995. So it's a good moment.
Yes, it is a difference.
If you already have an oxygen concentrator, then you only need to buy the kit, so then it's a lot less. That's including the price of an oxygen concentrator.
And all of this you'll be writing another blog post about, and you'll also put it out in your newsletter, correct?
Yes, in about 10 days, as soon as they let me out of the corner, I'm going to read kind of thing. I'm already starting, you know, tease about it on Facebook. And
yes.
And
well, Dr. Circus, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. I apologize deeply to everyone, to you, and about the beginning, but I guess, you know, just mechanics of being able to connect, but I'm glad we did connect, and it was a wonderful hour.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, too.
Thank you so much, and looking forward to checking out that book, and maybe you'll come back in another few months, and I'm sure you'll have something else that will be absolutely wonderful, because you always seem to be pushing the envelope and going forward and in using it in yourself and your patients, and you always have something great to share with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Anyone would like more information about Dr. Circus, please do check today's show page link where there are all connections to his books, his protocols, his websites, and also if you'd like a consultation, he is available via Skype. And until tomorrow, this has been an absolutely wonderful hour. I do apologize for the beginning of the hour when we were trying to connect, but it has been a great day, and please do learn to start take care of your own health, because really, your next-door neighbor might not have the answers. You know, your Facebook page might not have the answers. Maybe you really need to start asking a doctor, and Dr. Circus is the person to ask. Thank you so much for being with us today. Until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.